let's hit max today. I think we're going to do a great job.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Modern Man Podcast. Don't forget to connect with the men in pursuit of their potential. That's what this podcast is all about. Join us as we embrace discomfort, cultivate community, and put wind in each other's sails. And if you're ready to take your next step to your own personal development journey, be sure to hit like on the platform that you're on. Hit that subscribe button. And of course, make sure to share this with a friend that you know can get value from it as well. I'm excited because we're going to get wind in our sails today from my guest, man of God, life coach, public speaker. It is my pleasure to introduce Joel Cochran on the podcast. Joel, thank you for hopping on today, man.
Yeah, man, it's, I get a lot of requests to go on podcasts, and looking at your podcast and what you do, I was very excited to come on, and I'm pumped on what we're going to dive into today.
I appreciate it, man. And I know the audience is chomping at the bit to know more about you, as sure. Always. So I step out of the way and I let the guest introduce themselves in their own words, because I could read the titles, but that can just talk about the end game. It doesn't talk about the ropes, the pulleys, the gears, the blood, sweat, and tears that went into who we have on the call today. So Joel, please take the podcast. It's yours, and talk to the people.
Yeah. Well, to introduce myself, you guys, I'm a fourth generation Nevadan here in Reno, Nevada. That's important to me because my forefathers are the ones who pioneered the state. And so I have a lot of roots in this area. And if you haven't been to Nevada, this is the true Wild West. People talk a lot about Texas and this and that. We have more BLM land, meaning land that you can go get on, unlike Texas, where it's all private and you can't get out into the wild. And so growing up here in Northern Nevada, it's a beautiful place. If you haven't been here, it's an incredible place to visit. We have Tahoe. We have great hunting and skiing and hiking and biking. And so I grew up here really connected to the community and to the area of Northern Nevada. And that's really what helped to leverage where I got to in my personal career, which is currently running a small business here in Reno, Nevada. We're based out of here, but we're virtual. We help people worldwide. My business is a nutrition and life coaching company called Proclivity. And why I started this business is because I ran a CrossFit affiliate for 7 years, two different affiliates, over 600 plus members. And one of the things that I found after doing 4,000 one-on-one introductions is, man, this isn't making sense. If I'm doing 4,000 introductions and we have an incredible product, why aren't people staying? And what I started finding is that there was a mindset, there was an identity that they were connecting to. And it was that they're always going to be the slow kid, the fat kid, the person that can't lose the weight, the ones that's not athletic. And so if we believe that identity, we will always fall back to that identity. And so that's why I started Proclivity. I started Proclivity mainly in terms of the nutrition side, is to give a forward front of what people want, because I need to give them what they want so that they can leave with what they need. And leaving with that they need is a new identity. We need to peel back what has been holding us back, because there hasn't been a single person that's come to work with us that hasn't already tried a ton of different programs, fitness programs, nutrition programs, all the things. But the thing was, is that at the baseline, their foundation was the same, and we had to dig up that foundation, lay a new one. Then we could build the house that we wanted it. And so that's what I do with Proclivity. And I also work for Best Hour of Their Day. This is a business development company for CrossFit affiliates. We are partnered with CrossFit. We work with over 250 affiliates across the world. And I do business development and mindset coaching with Best Hour as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic that you do all that, because actually just listened to your full podcast with Brandon Powell, which was fantastic. Yeah. And for so many of us, the identity piece is what holds the whole structure together, the whole card house, or the house of cards, if you would.
Yeah, that's right.
Because when we talk about discipline, when we talk about willpower, when we talk about, you know, peer pressure, all that gets erased when you know who you are and who you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And we've covered that on previous episodes, but I'm curious into your thoughts on where do we get our original identity in the first place? The identity of the slow kid, the identity mm-hmm. of, you know, maybe this just isn't for me. I'm not the tech genius, or I'm not the entrepreneur. Where does that identity come from?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we acquire our personality traits from our caretakers, whoever they may be, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, uncles, aunts, whoever it may be. And when we acquire their personalities, particularly from the age of 0 to 5, we're a sponge. So we're soaking in everything, not just the words, but the way that my dad's eyes move, the way that he breathes, the way that he moves. If he's fidgety, I'm fidgety. I'm just soaking in everything that I see from my parents. And so ideally, in that really ripe age of 0 to 5, a lot of parents are like, I want to do everything for my kids. And a lot of times, I want to do everything for my kids is because they didn't receive something from their parents. And so instead of healing themselves, they have a child and they go, oh, I will heal them, or I will put all the things that I never got from my parents into them. Mm-hmm. And so as good-hearted as it may be, we will swing the opposite way, and we will start creating different tendencies, different insecurities or beliefs due to the fact that we never came in and healed ourselves. And so we work with a ton of parents. And my number one thing with parents is like, you want to be good with your kids? I mean, you really want to give back to your kids. Great. I need you to heal you. Basically, your kids are going to do anything and everything that you do, and they're watching at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to recognize that first, if you're no longer a child and you're a man, right, is to first recognize that within yourself. What is it that I need to be healed? How do I need to be healed here? Then the second thing is to be able to then look at your parents, because they give you the perfect window into your own soul, mm-hmm. of your own insecurities, your own angers, your own frustrations, right? Ever gotten upset with your mom or dad, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, that just absolutely pisses me off. Oh, is that because you do the same thing? Is that because that's a thing that you don't like about yourself? And it's so much easier to point at your parents. When we start healing ourselves, we can see it in our parents and go, oh, wait a second. I can now see a better version, right? I can see the insecurities and I can heal those. They're a window and a mirror for us.
Yeah.
And then if we can heal that with our parents, meaning forgive them for the time they left you at the ballpark, or they smacked you across the face, or they said that really mean thing to you. Now you're creating a healed soil for your child to take his roots and to dig into.
That's such an honorable approach, because I want the men listening to understand that not only is it honorable, it's noble. Pun intended, noble knights, shameless.
That's right.
But
shameless.
What you're talking about there is a very mature approach to the traumas that we have as children, understanding that our parents did the best that they could in that situation,
right. mm-hmm.
wherever you might feel they have fallen short. And then now that you're an adult, understanding, okay, I might have lacked this at 7 years old,
right.
or 6 years old. But now that I'm an adult, I can forgive little Ted and mm-hmm. work on providing what it was that little Ted didn't have in the first place. And when you really unpack it to the lower layer, it becomes, I don't want to deplete it by saying the word simple, but it becomes more simple. At least from my experience, I found that when I was upset with my parents for not putting me into sports at a young age, and I have to live with the what if thoughts of, could you mm-hmm. have gone pro, or not even pro, yeah. could you have played a D1 football at a very high level? Because all the coaches said you would have started at any other school. how do you let go of that resentment? Well, you let go of it when your skill sets and passion still gets you next to a national championship trophy when Clemson won it. And you're touching the trophy, you're looking at it, and you're like, listen, man, I'm 5 foot 10 and three quarters, which is about 5'11", which is practically 6 feet. So let's say 6 feet. But I'm 5'10", man. 135 pounds soaking wet my senior year of high school. I'm sitting at 180. I am not built like an NFL football player.
That's right.
But because I executed the talents that I had in my adult age, I got closer to that national championship than I would have had I gone down the football route that I wanted. So that mature approach of identity is huge. And I'm curious into how that plays into the decisions people make when it comes to something they do every day, like eat, pick their nutrition, the food that they decide to indulge in. I'm interested to that nutrition piece that you pull in and how that helps.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a saying in Proclivity, simple and easy are not the same thing. Right. And a lot of us are looking for that shortcut, maybe in business, maybe in life. Maybe we don't take the shortcut over here in business, and we've grinded it and we've done all the things, we've climbed the hill, but we look for the shortcuts in other areas because I don't have time because I'm grinding up this hill. Yet in the end, there are simple habits that we need to have to be able to make incredible changes. And our top three changes, particularly in the nutrition, and I'm gonna touch into the identity as well. Our top three, where we tell people, if you can consistently get these three things down, you're going to be healthier than 95% of people in America. And they're simple. First, get 8 hours of sleep. Make sleep. Sleep is your elixir. Sleep is where you are going to increase your testosterone. You want to destroy your testosterone? Don't sleep. You want your testosterone to go through the roof? Sleep. As simple as that, guys. You don't need testosterone replacement therapy. You need freaking sleep. And that's because you're trying to grind up a hill, or you're trying to do all these things that's trying to, you know, you're catering to this identity of I'm going to prove them wrong, or my dad said I would never make it, or, you know, I was the small kid in school and look at me now. Whatever the driver is, or I saw my dad work, you know, 60 hours. And so, here I am. That's weird that I'm working 60 hours, right? We acquire our personalities from our parents. So if we saw that from them, we're going to do that. Yet sleep is the number one, guys, right? And dedicated sleep, nothing interrupts that. The second one is hydration. And when we think about hydration, there's a couple things that we miss. Growing up, it was very much like the bodybuild era where you'd have like the big jugs of water, right? That you're constantly drinking. Well, there's a couple things that are wrong with that. If I'm drinking water without electrolytes, I'm doing my body more harm than I am good. I'm too hydrated to the point that I'm not getting that same feedback from my body because I'm diluting myself. And so by increasing our electrolyte input with water, this is going to help with energy, focus, hunger cravings like crazy. I don't know how often I tell guys, you should be eating two times a day. That's it. Unless you're truly trying to pack on muscle, then yes, add a third meal of 30 to 60 grams of protein. But for the most part, men, we're made to fast.
I'm like straight up two times a day. Yeah,
exactly. Right. And we're made to fast. We were meant to be hunters, right? Running around, chasing predators. We were okay with going days without food and then we'd get our hunt. And we need to know, like, we're created to do that. Yet water really helps you in that. And so I do Element is the electrolytes that I use. You can use whatever you want. I suggest Element. I do anywhere from 3 to 4 packs a day. And people are like, man, that's like 4,000 milligrams of sodium. And I'm like, yeah, and I'll do up to 10,000. And that's because I eat whole foods. I'm not eating processed foods with a ton of sodium in it already. There's not going to be a lot of sodium in a bell pepper, a cucumber, a salad, right? You know, so making sure that you have enough electrolytes is essential, guys. Do that. get good quality water. It should be filtered. Keep it out of plastic, you guys. That's going to kill your testosterone as well. We don't know where that plastic has been, how long it's been sitting out of the sun, and it leaching that plastic into your water. Stay with stainless steel, anywhere from 24 to 32 ounces water. Fill it 3 to 4 times a day. Put an element or electrolytes in it, and you're gonna be ready to rock. And then the third one is protein.
Mm.
Making sure that if you are a man, you are at least getting 120 to 150 grams of protein a day. Now, that's going to depend on your size. If you're bigger, you're 225 or 250, or you're trying to stack on muscle, then yes, you can go ahead and eat more protein. But to the guys out there that are trying to do 275 grams of protein every day, too much. You don't have to do that much. Again, unless you're trying to be a bodybuilder and you want to have just absolutely crazy amounts of muscle,
yeah,
you don't need as much.
If I may, really quick with the protein aspect, mm-hmm. what about because I've heard you want to feed the lean muscle mass. So mm-hmm. like your lean muscle mass, 1 gram per body weight versus mm-hmm. most say, oh, your body weight, if you're 160, they say 160 grams. But if your lean muscle mass is less, you want to feed the muscle, not the fat. What are your thoughts on that?
Exactly. To the same point, right, is like your lean muscle mass is we want to build have those amino acids to be able to build the lean muscle mass. You still can get a ton of calorie intake or too many calories out of eating protein, and specifically depending on what protein that you're having. If you're having 3 ribeyes a day, that's a big difference than having 1 ribeye and then some ground turkey and then some chicken at the end of the night. So we have to be aware of what types of proteins that we're putting in. For the most part, I give a green light to most guys, other than 3 ribeyes a day. You're going to want to be careful of that. But the big thing is being able to make sure that we have bigger meals with protein, hitting 60 grams. And a lot of guys, Ted, struggle to hit 60 grams in a meal. A lot. When I show people, like, this is how much protein you need, they're like, how am I supposed to eat that? Yeah. And I'm like, it's because you're eating 20 grams in the morning or less and filling the rest of the caloric intake with like bread and toast and some kind of shake and so on and so forth. So of course you're hungry 2 hours mm-hmm. later, and you're stressed out because you're at work. And so now you're stressed out and you got cortisol pulsing through, which is now messing with your blood sugar levels, which is then going to make you want to go, what? I'm going to go grab the sweetest of treats. So now we find ourselves in the middle of the day, popping a Snickers or so on and so forth, because we're stressed out. And now we're creating even more wacky sugar levels. And that's why people are going for the caffeine at 2 o'clock in the evening, because now they have the sugar, which then crashed them. So now they were trying to spike their energy back up by having coffee, which is now throwing off their circadian rhythm. So when it's time to go to bed, they're all whacked out anyways, and they wonder why they're waking up at 2 a.m. in the morning, and their sleep is so disrupted, and their testosterone is low, and they're gaining mid-belly fat. Hello, guys. Mm-hmm. Eat a hearty protein-filled breakfast or fast, and then have a very solid lunch and dinner. Maybe you have a 30-gram snack halfway through, because you need 30 grams to create protein synthesis. So if you want to continue building your muscle, it's as simple as, okay, 2 beef sticks and 2 eggs is my like third meal if I have it, and that gets me to 30 grams. Great. And my skeletal muscle mass stays on and has stayed on for a very long time.
If iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. But if you're a man and you're a loner listening to this, then who sharpens you? What's going on, guys? Ted Thayton here, host of the Modern Man Podcast, also founder of the Noble Knights Mastermind Group. And I'm just out here encouraging you to find your circle. Maybe you're on a personal growth journey and nobody around you understands the new mentality that you're possessing. That's okay. You can find an online community that will pour into you, will navigate your goals and navigate your obstacles, share their experiences, resources, and more. Join the Noble Knights Mastermind Group and try us out for free to tap into a community of men helping each other scale up and reach their goals.
Check out themodernmanpodcast.com. That's awesome. And I hope a lot of our listeners didn't miss the aspect of how malnutrition plays into the cortisol in your brain that plays into the stress, which is also just pulling all these little ropes on you. You know, there are no strings on me, but there are when you are kind of playing this game of, okay, let me grab the coffee and then the treat and then all this. And next thing you know, you're saying, why don't I have energy? Now I wake up at 2 a.m. because I have to get up and go to work. And, but I would say this, because out of the three, the 8 hours of sleep, the hydration, the protein, I love it. And I'm going to tell on myself here, Joel, I am historically bad at the sleep part. And part of it is my unique schedule. Now, I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm using that as just the scenario that I'm in. And it's wholeheartedly my fault why my sleep is what it is. Yep. I'm averaging 5 to 6 hours a day. With that in mind, what would you recommend to someone in a position that works third shift, or someone who is trying to get their sleep schedule on point and they wake up early in the morning and they're trying to find out ways to sneak in naps, or what the best effective way to attack their sleep would be?
Yeah. If you guys are shift workers, which can be really challenging due to the fact that what happens when you don't work, you're like, your body's still going to be like, oh, let's start, you know, waking up at two. And you're like, no, I don't need to be up at two anymore. Like, I'm off today, so I can sleep until, you know, 4 or 5. But the body is very in tuned. And when you start getting it into a circadian rhythm, that's why with sleep, our number one suggestion with sleep is go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time. That is your best way to get great sleep, right? Is go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time. What most people do is they do have an early shift. So they're waking up early, and then on the weekends, they want to relax. So they want to have a couple beers, and then they want to sleep in until 8 or 9 o'clock when their body's used to getting up at 5 or 6. Well, it's starting to reset that circadian rhythm again, where the body's going, oh, wait a second. Are we going to bed at this time and waking up this time? What are we doing here? So it starts confusing the body, and that's what can be difficult for shift workers. And so when it comes to shift work, the first thing that I suggest is don't do it. Now I know that now I know that that's not always possible, guys. But naturally the body just isn't meant to be up at that time. The second thing that I would suggest is making sure that you do try to find some type of 15-minute nap or a 15-minute meditation, anything. You don't have to think, I have to fall asleep. You being able to lay down, use some type of app like Calm or Headspace. Find a silent space. I've done it on my office floor too many times to count, where I just lay down and my thought process isn't I need to nap. My thought process is I need to give my body a rest. And that could just be focusing on my breath, with each exhale, allowing my muscles to relax deeper. Muscles relax deeper. Muscles relax deeper. That's my only thought. So if I can do that, I'm literally shutting down each muscle strand. And even if I don't fall asleep, I'm going to feel incredible, because I've told my entire body, you can completely relax here. And so that gives a quick reset to the body of being able to go, all right, I feel good. I wouldn't go over 30 minutes. If you do end up falling asleep, don't go over 30 minutes. That's going to start messing with your circadian rhythm as well. You want to stay within that 15 to 25 minute range. But again, even if you don't fall asleep, allow yourself to think, I'm giving my body a rest. It's not, I need to sleep. Because when you say that and you're like, okay, I only got 25 minutes, good luck being able to shut down the brain and get a nap in. It ain't gonna work.
Nope. That actually is hugely helpful, at least for myself too, because I do that. Like, I got 20 minutes really quick, let me take a nap and then lay down. And the next thing you know, like, really? Already? Time to go.
Yep, totally.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that, because that's for me and any of the other listeners out there who don't know how to sit the F down. So I need that advice just as much. And I guess give us the promised land, right? What are the benefits when we dial in those three, the 8 hours of sleep, the hydration, the element package? You said you take 2 to 3 a day. So we're getting hydrated with the electrolytes and we're getting sufficient amount of protein to sustain our lean muscle mass. What does that promised land look like when we're operating on all cylinders?
Yeah. Let me give it to you guys, because I know as men listening, we like to be like, just tell me what to do. All right. I'm going to tell you what to do. Okay. So I'm going to give you my example of my sleep schedule. So when it comes nighttime, and I always start at nighttime, guys, we think like we want to first start off at morning. No. It's how you're preparing yourself for sleep is the most important part. Not just like, oh, I need to be in bed for 8 hours. Again, good luck. That's like taking the nap. Okay. I need to go to bed now. I need to be asleep now. That's not a restful state for the mind or the body to be able to go. We're safe and we can go to rest. Mm. So the very first part of my night is when I get to 8 p.m. because I want to go to bed at 10. That's 2 hours before bed. Now, even before 8 p.m., I want to make sure that I'm done with my meal 3 hours before I go to bed so that my body can digest and I can get to rest. If you eat too close to bedtime, your body's trying to break down that food. It's going to shut down melatonin because it's in work stage. Melatonin is the hormone that puts you to sleep. It's going to go into work stage because it needs to digest that food. Can't leave it sitting there. And it's going to start increasing your internal temperature when we want our internal temperature to decrease before we go to bed. And so if you're eating a bunch before bed, it actually increases your internal temperature. And so you might find yourself not tired. And I'm like, I just don't know why I'm tired. You're eating an hour and a half before bed and you're eating, you know, trying to hit the 60 grams that Joel told you to hit. But now your body's trying to break down. It's hard to break down protein in comparison to like a quick carb, you know, like an apple. It's going to, okay, cool. Break it down. No problem. There's a little bit of fiber in there. It's not going to be a big deal. But when you're breaking down protein, it's going to take a lot of energy. So it's going to heat you up. So the first thing is, guys, make sure you're 3 hours before or more eat. Try to keep that meal even lighter instead of your heavier meal. Your heavier meal should be more at the beginning of the day. So whether it's your breakfast or lunch, ideally, if you have three meals, your breakfast is going to be one of your more heartier. Then it's going to be lunch. Then lightest is going to be dinner, if you can. You don't have to plant a flag on that one. I'm just suggesting it. Then 2 hours before bed at 8 o'clock, I throw on my orange blue light blockers. So I don't know if you guys have seen them before. They're literally orange hued or orange tinted because majority of your house is going to be filled with LED lights. Mm. And that is a signal to the brain, because your eyeballs are the only part of your central nervous system outside of your body that is going to signal to your brain, oh, blue light happens in the middle of the day. So that's when the most amount of blue light spectrum is in the middle of the day. So if your eyeballs are seeing that, because we have these, you know, lights above us, very similar to the sun, coming down here because your eyes are separated. They have different receptors from the bottom half and the upper part. And that's so that they can tell the difference between sun coming here and sun coming at an angle and sun hitting off the ground. And your eyeballs are taking in all of this circuitry. So if we constantly have these blue lights above us, your body's going to go, oh, nope, we're not going to produce melatonin, you know, shut everything down. Particularly if we have our phones in front of us, our TVs in front of us, so on and so forth. So whether I'm still looking at, you know, some things on my phone or my computer, I throw on those orange blockers. By doing that, I will start finding that I will start getting more tired just with that alone. Hmm. An hour before bed, or even before that, I'm going to shut off all of my blue lights. And I'm only going to, I personally light candles. I light candles and I have a salt lamp that I turn on. So it has that orange hue. So everything in my house is now like an orange hue. And then I turn on a diffuser and I have essential oils. And you guys may be wondering, like, what is going on here? I'm trying to create the best atmosphere for me to have the most incredible sleep. And I want to create a spa-like atmosphere every time I'm going to bed. Because if you ever gone to a spa or you've gotten a massage, you go there and it's nice light music, right? Lights are low, smells good, and you find yourself relaxing. Why is that? Because the central nervous system, we're calming the central nervous system by bringing lights low, sounds lighter, right? And this is what we want. We want to start teaching that central nervous system, it's time to decompress. But if we're trying to hammer away the last piece of work, watch that, you know, oh man, I just love Yellowstone or whatever TV show that's, you know, shooting and killing and, you know, beating and cursing and smashing, your body is going to get, central nervous system is going to upregulate again. And so without even knowing it, most people are blue lights on, way too stimulating TV. They might even have loud music playing all the way until the end of the night. It's really tough for your body to go, I want to rest and get really good rest here. And so we want to make sure that we start creating a very, again, spa-like atmosphere. Mm-hmm. When we do that, my next step is being able to take a hot shower. I take a hot shower because you guys might be thinking, wait, I thought we were supposed to have a lower body temperature to go to bed. When you have hot water on your external skin, your pores open up and your blood rushes away from your core to your extremities. So now it's starting to decrease your internal core temperature. So you will find just a 5-minute hot shower, get out of that, you'll start finding yourself even more sleepy. So now I'm coming out, hot shower, essential oil smells, candles lit. I might crack open a fiction book, you know, until my eyes start bobbing. Then I go into my climate controlled room with my 8 sleep mattress, which controls the temperature of my bed throughout the entire night. And I have a white noise machine to be able to deal with the sound. And I fall right to sleep at 10 o'clock every single night. And so from 10 to 6 is when I sleep. That gets me my 8 hours. Then the first thing that I do when I wake up, guys, is I make sure to hydrate. So this is where I do Element, creatine, MCT oil, and collagen. That's my mixture every single day. 24 to 32 ounces of that, along with I take Heart and Soil, they're liver supplement pills. Mm-hmm. If you guys haven't checked them out, that's your best supplement that you can be taking that you're not taking, almost guaranteed.
Yeah.
From there, I do a cold shower, straight into a workout, straight out the door for work. Then my first meal is going to be around anywhere from 10 to 12. That's where I'm going to hit my first protein. Then I do protein there. I've already had additional 24 ounces of Element before noon. So I had my 24 to 32 ounces before I leave work, then 24 to 32 ounces before noon. Then I shoot to have 224 to 32 ounces before 3, and then heading home, I'll have some more water when I get home. Each one of those are all going to have Element in it. I have my protein at 11 or 12. I might do a secondary protein meal of, you know, 2 Chomp beef sticks. You can get Chomp beef sticks from Costco, yep. Grass-fed, no nitrates. Great way to be able to get protein. It's great for your kids as well. And then some hard-boiled eggs. Throw some salt on that. 2 eggs down, 2 beef sticks. I'm over 30 grams. I'm now in protein synthesis. So now I'm helping my muscles continue to grow. Get home at night, make sure I eat before 6. Now the whole routine's over again.
Boom. That's fantastic. And when you have that dialed in, what I noticed is your day, some would say, okay, is your day built around your routine? Is your routine built around your day? And I always tell people when I go through my perfect week, I start by auditing my time to look at what do I do naturally? Mm-hmm. Because for so many people, they could see, oh man, Joel has it dialed in and they're writing all this down. I took a bunch of notes, but I just want to caution the listeners. You probably didn't do this all at once.
And that's right.
Lot of people, they say, okay, how do you eat the elephant one bite at a time? Or I like to talk about habit stacking is, mm-hmm. you know, at the very least, you know, let's start by getting your dinner done 3 hours right. before, like, right. Start little by little, but knowing what the promised land looks like, you know, I love that you gave that playbook because the men now could see the routine. They could see the end game. And I would encourage anyone listening or watching to take one thing that you want to add, get good at that, and then add the next. That's and stack right. it onto something you already do. We're like, okay, mm-hmm. brushing my teeth in the morning. Let me hop in the shower for 5 minutes before mm-hmm. that. Or mm-hmm. brushing my teeth at night. Hop in the shower. Run the shower while you're brushing your teeth. That should warm it up. And then you could hop in really quick. 5 minutes
right.
later,
that's right.
you're out. So those are simple things that I think would be helpful for men to kind of slowly stack that on and habit stack that along the way.
Yeah.
In terms of moving forward. I want to talk as we're coming up to our time here of balancing it all, the energy to, you know, have the routine and for some, especially like me, and it might be the identity I need to let go of where, you know, my wife will tell me, it's like, okay, are you almost done? And I'll sit here at the computer a little longer or I'll eat dinner with my wife late and go to bed late, which is why I was laughing when you talked about the temperature increase, because I wear the Whoop band and I can always see it. Sometimes when I eat late, my temperature runs hotter the next day. So what would you say has been your benefit or your approach to balancing the energy you invest in all these arenas?
Yeah, that was something we were talking about before we started the podcast is really being able to take a look at, you know, the different burners that you have on in life. Work, family, health, your faith, where are we investing? And knowing that, and this is one of the hardest things that I have found when it comes to coaching others, is being able to go, it's okay to say no. If I'm working so hard that I don't have the energy to truly invest into a relationship, it's okay to say no. It's okay to be like, hey, you know what? It wouldn't be fair to you and it wouldn't be fair to me. As much as I'd love to be able to spend time with this new, exciting woman, I'm going to say no. Because I personally have chosen to invest into this business and to work for another business and to have these different plates that are spinning. And there's things that I have to go, no, I can't train for that ultramarathon. Right? Physically. No, I can't take on that church group. Spiritually. Right? No, I can't take on that relationship. Right? Emotionally. By being able to say no, because right now my season is this, and knowing that this season will also pass. This isn't like my plan has always been to work 4 hours a day, 4 days a week, and make a six-figure salary. That's always been my plan. Now, how I do that, whether it's with my business alone or it's working with best hour, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is that in my life, I know I want to work 4 hours a day, 4 days a week so that I can invest in myself. And it takes an upfront load for you to get to 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. It doesn't just go, I want to be work 4 hours a day, 4 days a week, and it's going to happen. Just, I'm going to make six figures. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Good luck, you guys, right? You can affirmation yourself as much as you want, right? And I've been around the best of them. And it takes work. Yet be careful of how the devil will come and say, no, look at this. Come over here, right? There's a reason I don't use the B word, right? Busy. Because a pastor once told me, busy is buried under Satan's yoke. And I went, dang, that's so true. Because if we're so busy, right? I haven't met somebody yet who says, man, busy makes me feel so like light and open and so like energetic and like, no, you feel tight, constrictive, right? You feel disempowered. Why are we using it then? I don't use that word. Because it's a distracting word. It's a tension word. Instead, man, my day is fulfilled with seven different coaching calls in which I get the opportunity to be able to touch the lives of seven other people. That's a lot different than, man, my day is packed, super busy with seven different coaching calls. There's a different feel to each one.
Yeah.
And so being able to recognize, you guys, what you're investing into, being able to say no to things, even though you may want to, right? I got an opportunity to go sailing in the Bahamas. And I said no, because I went, at this time, I'm going to say no, even though it would be great. And I'd be in the Bahamas, I'd be sailing, right? P. Diddy status on this massive like sailboat. I said no, because I knew it would cause more stress than it would be a reward, right? Getting into a relationship right now caused more stress than it be a reward. The time will come, I'll be on that sailboat. The time will come, I will be in a beautiful relationship. Right now, I'm settled and happy with where I'm at now. And that's because I'm saying no with the goal of being able to get to those 4 hours a day, 4 days a week.
Yes, I love it. Again, identity. When you know who you're not, when you know who you are, you know who you're not.
That's right.
Joel, I want to make sure that those who are saying yes to everything you just said has a way to contact you, follow the work that you're doing with Proclivity, and of course, utilize your services if needed. So what's the best way to reach out?
Man, I would love to connect with you guys. If you guys have any questions, nutrition, if you're struggling in your life with your identity, I don't know which direction to go. You know, I'm still pissed off at my dad or my mom, or I can't get over this divorce or so on and so forth. I'm telling you right now, yes, you can, because the reality will not change. If you got divorced, you got divorced. If your dad beat the hell out of you, he beat the hell out of you. But your perception of the reality can always change. And know you can always be free from that. And we can shift that perception. And when you shift that perception, you find freedom. And when you find freedom and you feel light and open and validated and expansive, doing those habits that I talked about earlier with protein and sleep becomes so much easier, because you don't feel constricted and weighed down every day. And we would love to be able to chat with you. You can come to our website, www.proclivity.co, that's C-O, or you can reach out to me on Instagram, Joel Cochran_, or head to our Instagram page, proclivity.co.
Love it. And I will have those links in the show notes for folks to go ahead down in the description and open that up and get right to those sources. Last question, and it's usually a heavy one, but what is something that you've seen or something that's happened to you that shapes the way you view the world as a man?
That's a good one. Being able to heal my relationship with my father and my mother was the greatest thing that I have done as a man. Because for the longest time, I thought as a man, I need to do all these different things, right? I need to be able to know how to work a chainsaw and ride a horse and lead other men in church and so on and so forth. But there was still this broken piece of me, that little boy, that was keeping me from really changing my perspective of what it is to be a man. And what it is to be a man is being able to know the difference between self-development and self-acceptance. Because I spent tens of thousands of dollars on self-development. And I worked with my parents and therapists, but it wasn't until I created self-acceptance of me that all of that then lined up, because I kept trying to push forward instead of being able to accept where I'm at, accept my past, and accept where I'm going.
Love that. I love that. That's huge and probably resonates with so many men listening. That's our time, unfortunately. Joel Cochran, thank you so much for everything today. Thank you for this episode. And to the audience, thank you for making it to the end. We appreciate you as always. And you already know I'm going to ask that you hit the like button, the subscribe button, and share this with someone you know can get value from it. And really, the biggest compliment you can give us is by leaving us a rating, letting us know how we're doing. It's also how we improve by getting some of the feedback from you. So we appreciate all that. I'm also going to share a few of the gems really quick that you left along the way, Joel. True Wild West, shout out to Nevada. Love that you started off with that. But mindset holding people back. If you don't know your identity, you're going to have a harder time sticking to what those goals are that you're setting for yourself are. 0 to 5 age range, that's when we're putting everything we want to that we didn't have into our kids, but we could actually be passing on those traumas. And then simple is not the same as easy. Undoing some of the traumas that have impacted you in the past could be simple, but doesn't mean it's easy. But unpacking that is how you start. And if you're looking to optimize how you show up in the world and how you operate day in and day out, focusing on the top three things, your sleep, your hydration, your protein. Are you getting 8 hours of sleep? I wrote down your bedroom should be like the spa. Do you have the white noise? Do you have the humidifier, the dehumidifier, the aromatherapy, whatever it might be? And of course, having those routines and those habits set in place. And of course, getting the sufficient amount of protein and of course, making sure that you're hydrated with the electrolytes is also helpful. And it's okay to say no. You can't have the capacity for everything. Even with optimized energy, you can't do it all. So it's okay to say no. And that's where the identity comes back into play. And this season too shall pass. So maybe it's not necessarily just a no, it's a no for now. And understanding the difference between self-development and self-acceptance. Guys, thank you so much for the end. Joel, thank you again. And as we always say, everybody wants the sunshine, but they don't want the rain. But you can't get the pleasure without first the pain. Let's go.